Did I scare you?
Hello, you are listening to the podcast that answers the only question that matters in horror film, did I scare you? I am your host, Jake Albrecht.
And I am his co-host and America's littlest brother, Vin.
How you doing today, Vin?
I'm good. I had a very dangerous ride home tonight, but so I'm really happy to be here doing this show.
Dangerous in what way?
It was icy. There was a lot of winding roads, and I actually had to take the long way home today.
I was afraid, due to the subject matter this week, that maybe someone with a bandaged up face had rear-ended you. Or you had rear-ended them, I guess.
And at that rate, then, what number, Vin, would I be, then?
Ooh, let's not spoil anything. For those of you who haven't listened before, this is not the podcast where my brother almost careens off the road. This is the podcast where we two brothers switch off picking horror movies in an attempt to scare the other one. Vinny, I selected the movie this week. What is the name of the movie I selected?
You have selected for us the 2006?
I believe 2007.
Dang. All right. Almost. Time Crimes.
Yeah. It might not have come to America until much later, though. That's the, I believe, Spanish release date.
Sure. Hey, you want to... You told me this story earlier, but you want to tell people how you actually remember this movie?
How I remember it?
Well, how you actually remembered and why you picked it.
I don't remember. What do you mean?
You told me what time you got high and you were like...
No, you misunderstood. I was talking about a different movie.
Oh, okay. All right.
No, I was saying... All right, I was texting Vinny earlier today and I was saying this one stood out in my memory and that was notable. Because there was another movie, this movie was called Submarine, where I had gotten high, and I was watching 25 minutes of it, and then I stopped because I was like, I think I've seen this before. And then I went and checked my old Netflix ratings, and I had given it 5 stars, but I didn't remember it when I was selecting the movie at all.
It's a selective memory through the drugs.
No, it's just that I don't think the drugs had anything, like, I just had no memory of this movie whatsoever. It was just in one ear and out the other.
But apparently you loved it back
then. And I loved it.
Yeah. So what do you got to say for your past self, then?
Well, there's, like, a little weird dude in it, and he's got, like a sort of chubby girlfriend. So I was like, yeah, I get what I was into.
Sure. Okay, when did you come upon this movie, Time Crimes?
Years ago, I believe it was... I used to read the Roger Ebert reviews every... I believe every Thursday they came out. Mm-hmm. And he would usually have 3 or 4 movies every week. Mm-hmm. It was how I got introduced to a lot of movies. I'm fairly certain because Roger Ebert liked this movie, that's why I had like checked it out at some point.
Oh.
Although it wasn't a glowing review. He only gave it 3 stars.
Oh. Well, he's a hard man to please, that Roger Ebert.
I have a thing, because this is a time travel movie. I like movies about time travel.
Me too.
But if movies are not about time travel and feature time travel as a story device, I do not like them at all.
Yeah, I mean, like, say we're talking about a movie like Hot Tub Time Machine. Yeah, it's a tremendously...
No, because that's kind of about time travel. I like that one, actually.
No. But I'm saying it had it in its title, so it's like, therefore, that's the main crux of the story. But if we're doing, like...
It's Prisoner of Azkaban is what I'm thinking of.
Oh.
Specifically. It's the Harry Potter where, like, there's, like, a giant, like, dog guy chasing Harry. You're like, okay. And then the last part of the movie, you're like, what if time travel happens? It's like, what?
Oh, yeah.
Like, well, I don't know. Or, like, Star Trek, like, the reboot, where they're like, maybe Spock travels back in time. I'm like, what? That's not what this is. What?
I mean, would you say you share the same sentiment with, like, Endgame, where that becomes a time heist movie.
It was honestly a problem for me when I saw it.
See, like, I didn't watch the trailers, and I was delightfully, like, surprised when I was like, ooh!
Yeah, no. We're not, like, you go into the movie being like, well, how are they going to get them all back? Because, like, they gotta. And then they're like, well, maybe if we go back in time. I was like, no!
That's perfect! They freaking, well, spoilers. But, you know, they go back and steal more Pym particles, and it's good to go, baby.
Not a storytelling device I like. I mean, I forgive it because, like, it's a pretty good movie anyways, but...
Sure. Yeah, you know, $3 billion. You can't go wrong. Yeah, all right. I've never seen this movie, so, like, I didn't really know if I wanted to watch a trailer or kind of get the crux of what it is, but, you know, given through the title, it had time, it had crimes. So I figured, you know, both those things would more or less correlate somewhere in the, down the line.
Yeah, this going back to my sweet spot, which is like, I saw a movie once and I thought it was great, but nobody else has seen it. So if I can make other people see it and maybe talk to me about it, that's pretty good for me.
I mean, most times that, you know, Big Brother has done that for us on the show, it's kind of been a grand slam. So, I mean, Killing of the Sacred Deer definitely was like a, I can't believe. Same thing with The Lighthouse, too.
Yeah, those are the two that I would think of first. Yeah. In regards to that as well.
Yeah, so is Time Crimes going to be one of those? Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you later. But it's
stick around to the end to find out. It
says signs are looking good.
That's why they call him the best tease in the business.
Then
because he always starts jerking off dicks just a little bit and then stops immediately.
I'm just a tease. And I say that and I tee-hee and like twinkle toes my way out the room.
Yeah, no, they get real mad.
Go! Okay, so all right, should we cast the movie?
Oh yeah, well, Vin, I did take notes this week, so I kind of named them myself.
Oh nice, that's great. Look at that, the return of the notes. And guess what, I took some notes too, a couple of notes.
All right, let's see how that works out for you.
Probably terrible if y'all remember how we first started doing this show, but I gave it a try.
Why all these don't say hungry for Cheetos?
I was looking on Twitter and I just kept seeing Cheetos, so.
Yeah, you all remember that Cheetos was trending last week.
Yeah, it's because of that outbreak of that poison that got into that one batch.
Anywho, I mean, if you don't object, I have middle-aged guy.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
His wife.
Yeah.
Red pants.
Yep.
Walkie-talkie.
Okay, yeah, sure.
The bandaged guy.
Pink man.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that too.
Yeah, they call him the pink man, so.
And then, confusingly, middle-aged guy three.
No, two, though.
Well, middle-aged guy
you'll
one.
You'll see.
You get it.
Yeah, you'll see. You'll see.
There's a riddle for you.
Yeah. And I know you're wondering, wait, why did you repeat it? You'll see. That's it. That's really
yeah, no,
it.
No, that's everybody in this fucking movie.
Yeah, nice, short, sweet. This movie was only an hour and 30 minutes. I say let's crack into it, man. Let's go to the movies. I can't wait because I really want to talk about this movie.
All right. Let us tarry no further. Let's get into the meat of this movie. Vinny, we start off with the indie movie production parade, and all of it's in Spanish, so you're just like, I can only imagine what this might mean.
Yeah. You ever, like, sometimes, like, come across, like, something on Instagram where it's, like, in Latin, and you're like, damn, I wish I knew what they were saying. I'm sure it's something extravagant.
I always like that on Twitter, they give you the option to translate.
Yeah, I love that too. I love that we're living in the future where literally you just hit see translation. It puts us that much more closer to the people around the world.
Yeah, instead of putting in the Alta Vista thing back in the day and then having your Spanish teacher get very upset about it.
Yep.
Anywho, we got a black screen, a door opens, and there is some rustling. We're in a grocery store parking lot. Her car is starting up. We POV with the car as it drives away. There is discordant music as it heads to the country. Then there's a bunch of barbecue shit coming out of the back of the car when it gets to the destination.
Of which that I was saying, I wonder how long he drove with that fucking thing open like that, and how much did he lose out of the back of his car?
Yeah, he seems unconcerned. It seems like the debris is located just, like, just down the road from his house.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess it could be worse. I mean, like, you know, so said, like, somebody, maybe he had a couple of picnic chairs that came out, and a couple people ran those over on his way home.
Yeah.
Maybe like
a potted
plant.
I think the real issue is he had a trident back there, and that came out like 3 miles back.
Damn, that would have really tied the backyard together.
It had a mermaid thing going. All right, man. A middle-aged dude gets out and starts picking it up, asking his wife for help. I just put, how'd he make it so far? What's the deal? You think it was crammed in too much, and the door at the end was like, I'm giving up?
Probably. You know how, like, you know, you'll stuff something like in the back of your trunk and you're like, yeah, it's good enough. But like you'll start like bending the box when you start slamming your trunk. Actually, what I did put like something in the back of my trunk recently, and I guess I didn't close the trunk properly all the way. And I started driving and I looked behind my mirror and I was like, I could swear my fucking trunk is open, and just hear punk. Punking on my, oh fuck, my trunk is definitely open.
Man. How is your new cat, Finn?
No, sadly.
The wife never responds, but he brings her a garden table.
Mm-hmm.
He's had a long day of ruining lawn furniture, so he's going to lie down.
Yeah.
He settles in for a nap upstairs as the radio natters on. He can't quite fall asleep. He opens up the windows, and it looks like they're renovating the house they're in because there's plastic shit everywhere.
Yeah, I can't tell. I mean, a house is so large that at first I thought it was like a, that was like a hotel or something, because it's massive.
It's a big house. It's not quite. I mean, like, they go to the university later, and that's a little bigger. Yeah, I have no further notes on that.
Oh, okay.
Vinny, he grabs his trusty binoculars and looks at some ominous tower. The telephone starts ringing, but he can't rope his wife into answering it because he's just like, come on, Clara, Clara.
Is that her name?
I think so.
Oh, okay. I like to call her short hair.
I like to call her nipple kisser.
Oh, you know what? That's actually, it's funny you say that. That's in my notes. We'll get to it.
Speaking of which, there's heavy breathing on the other end, but nobody says anything. He calls the number back, but it's a restricted number. Although, I guess in Spain, they're like, you can leave a message, though.
I would always love to leave a message for the people telling me that my, you know, the warranty on my car is expired.
I started giving that guy a guy shit that was doing that once. I was like, you are wasting people's time, like, you are a criminal. And he was like, hey, listen to me. Fuck your mother in the asshole.
Did he really say that?
Oh, shit. And then, like, before I had time to process that, he had hung up. But I was like, well, he gave it a little better than I did.
And you're like, touche. Hey, I mean, like,
I mean, the man's a pro. What can you say?
Yeah, I mean, he got me. And now I'm starting to get real concerned about my warranty on my car now.
Yeah, you know what I'm worried about? It's like, at that call center, do they have American phrases? And, like, one of them is like...
Are you saying, like, it's a checklist on front?
If they get violent, say, fuck your mother in the asshole.
It's just an arrow pointing to that side anytime, like, disgruntled people answer you.
Okay, they're still on the line. Your father sucks off unicorns.
Like, all right, yeah. What's number three?
Disengage.
Okay. Hang up.
His wife thinks it's the workers that are renovating the house, but he's like, not on the weekend. She's like, no one has our phone number. And then she's like, what's the point of the phone if no one has their phone number? Vinny, I can't argue with that logic.
Half the time I forget everyone's phone numbers now anyways.
Yeah, you know, I found out my cable company has been charging me for a landline that I didn't know existed for like 3 years.
That's some bullshit.
I was like, I don't have a phone. Why would I want a landline?
They're like, come on.
Like, just give me the $5 a month. Come on,
Yeah,
give me.
just fucking come on, man. Everything's dying.
Optimum, stop feeling so good. Give me some money.
Come on, you want to support your old friend Optimum?
Anywho, he also cannot argue, and she's like, I guess you're too argue to, or too tired to argue. And then she puts him on the couch and starts kissing his chest, including his hairy nipples.
Yeah, I mean, she really focusing on them nipples.
This is the kind of scene where I'm like, they probably could have communicated they were going to have sex just by, like, her getting on top and kissing him. But when she starts kissing his nipples, I'm like, this feels accidentally too intimate for me to be viewing.
You know, I dated a Latina chick that was really into doing that, so.
You didn't date a lot of Latina chicks, Vin, so sadly I know exactly who you mean. Wow, that's a bummer for me personally. Sort of recontextualize it's like every interaction I had with her. Hey, who?
Is that why she had like hair on her lips?
Nope. Hey, who? The phone was still recording, so he hangs up because it's pound town time. She's assembling the table after in the yard because I guess that's what she does after she comes.
You gotta let off some steam in other ways too.
He wants to know what's for dinner. I mean, this is a real bossy dude. The recap, he comes home, he breaks the table, right? He's like, all right, why don't you like come and help me bring this inside? Then he's like, get the phone for me.
Yeah, he definitely does seem like a guy that's like half-assing a lot of stuff. He's just kind of coasting. But it's funny
Yeah.
because after she's done building the thing, he has this like discussion with her about like, you're not going to be able to get that inside. So they made like
They
a
have,
bet.
they do. But before that, he starts seeing something in the hills with his trusty binoculars. Or as the Spanish call it, binoculars.
El binoculars, Jake.
Could be law. It seems like a woman in the woods, but her face is obscured. Then she starts taking her top off, but his wife interrupts after he gets an eyeful.
Go.
And yes, this is when she loses the bet about the door fitting, or the table fitting through the door.
Yeah, so now she's
So
got to go to
she
the
has to get
store.
dinner.
Yeah.
He is like waiting patiently for the exact moment she leaves so he could be like, oh my God, that shirt's got to be off by now.
I don't know if I want to share this story, but it does remind me of a time. Jake's face.
What do you mean, pal?
This is one time I went to mom and dad's for lunch, and they weren't home. And,
Is this gonna be about the fucking teenagers fucking in the woods again?
oh, did I tell this story before?
You never stop telling this
It's
story.
really wild, dude. They literally were fucking right in front of me, and it was autumn. There's no leaves on the
Wasn't. There's like 100 feet. It wasn't right. It's not like they were up against the glass. It put them on the glass. They're in the woods.
I mean, that would be awfully rude if just like just pressed up against the glass door and be like, I'm trying to
Squeaking away
eat.
right next to the bird feeder. As Vinny's mowing down a Hot Pocket.
He's feeding her bird seed. It is really weird.
No, thank you. Anyways, he gets a more comfortable chair to settle down in his spotting wayward nude women spot. He goes down the road and sees a dumpster that seems to have fallen down. She's disappeared. There's a bike laying down next to it. He goes up in the woods and he sees clothes on the ground and someone's knees. Then he sees a woman lying down with her eyes closed, but he falls over looking at her and she doesn't move. Because I haven't seen this for a while, I was like, oh, she's dead.
Right, I thought she was dead too. But he gets like a closer look and you could see she's taking in some air and I'm like, "Ah, oh, is it somehow less creepy though if she's sleeping?"
Yeah, I mean, like, sadly, before that, he, like, hooked some sticks at her, too.
I did like that.
He's like,
Hello,
naked lady.
señorita, and he just whips it and hits her right in the forehead. Must be dead.
As he's staring at, as the Spanish call him, dem titties, he gets stabbed in the arm with a pair of scissors by a dude with a bandage on his face.
Said, oh, fuck, we transported to us.
I wonder if he got those scissors from this.
I'll have to ask him someday.
Oh yeah, when you run into Jordan Peele.
Oh yeah, you know, we cool like that.
Right, he hides behind a tree with his arm bleeding, peeks around with those trusty binoculars. He sees someone moving through the trees. It's the bloody scissor guy with a bunch of bandages on his head. Then he does binocular hands at him, which causes the middle-aged guy to go like, ah! And then, like, scamper into the woods.
Yeah, I mean, he's creepy. This dude is like, these bandages look kind of pink and bloody, so
Yeah,
it
he
comes into
looks like a
play.
pink mummy.
You're right.
Yeah, he's like a mummy going through the end of its menstrual cycle.
I love that you started that and you were like, do I want to finish this?
It wasn't that. I was finding a way to say it that would be least offensive.
Tiptoe
Is as
around.
if a mummy was shedding the uterine wall. All
Oh no. Ew.
right, he runs and starts scaling a fence, but the fence immediately starts collapsing and he hits the ground. Then he goes to, I thought it was a house, but it's a college
Yeah.
where music is playing loudly and nobody answers when he knocks. So he just picks up a rock and he hucks it right through the window.
Yeah, some big window too. It's like, wow, dude. I mean, that's definitely not going to be fucking like cheap to fix. So, hope you got the fucking money to pay the campus for that.
I mean, to be fair to him, he like in his mind, like some bandaged weirdo is coming to stab him to death. So I guess there's no time. But you're also like giving away your location, like pretty hardcore by breaking a bunch of windows and then going in.
It's true. He again, he's not a real sneaky guy.
Fitting on the wall, there's a piece of paper with a zigzag line and two X's. And he turns it around. And it's on the back of the calendar.
What does that mean?
We don't know.
Not yet.
Not yet. He goes down a hallway, and this seems to be like a vet or something because there's a lizard X-ray on the wall. Did you notice that?
No, I didn't actually.
Yeah, that was pretty sweet.
So they're probably like, you know, using these lizards to, I guess, like, do experiments on or something.
He gets some gauze and dresses his wound. Then he finds a walkie-talkie crackling near some computers. He picks it up and someone answers. They ask him where he got the walkie-talkie. He tells the voice he got stabbed and he hopped the fence and someone's after him. The voice is like, come over to the other building. He strolls past some math equations on the wall and he's kind of like, eh, I don't really want to go anywhere right now. He tries the walkie-talkie guy again. The guy on the other line's like, is the guy chasing you a guy with a bandage on his head? He's like, oh. He's like, I see him, but he's far from the house, so you gotta come now. Come right now. You gotta
Yeah,
come up here.
you gotta come up here, okay?
And the middle-aged guy tries to bar the doors with a bolt cutter. And the walkie-talkie's like, I can't reach an outside line. I really must impress upon you how important it is you come to this other place.
It seems to take this fucking dude to like forever to like get shit together to go out and meet this guy.
Yeah, so eventually he stumbles outside and it's dark out now, and then the path lights up, going up to the silo. He's like, "What's going on?" Walkie-talkie's like, "I like turned it on. Please come up to the silo. I can't like say this enough times."
Yeah, and he tells him to hurry, and he's still jauntily like walking up the path, and it's like, dude, run to the silo.
Yeah, and then like. The walkie-talkie guy's like, oh, I'm losing cameras. You gotta come quicker.
Yeah.
So he finally starts running. Although he collapses shortly, because, you know, like, it's a big hill and he's an old guy.
He went out of breath. Like, he ran for, like, maybe a solid 2 minutes and then told them to turn the lights off and he laid on the ground.
Yeah, he got blown up quicker than The Rock facing CM Punk. That's for the wrestling fans, wink. Middle-aged guy hears a car and walkie-talkie's like, it's the bandage man. So he finally runs to the silo. Walkie-talkie is a young guy who is also the director of this movie with a beard. He's like, we're safe in here. There are some machines behind them that get to 100%. There's a giant cylinder in the middle of the room. And walkie-talkie's guy's like, hide in the cylinder from the bandage guy. He'll never look for you in there. The middle-aged guy's like, what? Yeah, he looks outside, and the bandage guy is there.
Yeah.
Coming up the road in the car. He's like, well, can't we just cut the lights off? And walkie-talkie's like, he'll never check the time machine. I mean, giant pod. Get in the giant pod.
Yeah, he opens it up. He's like, it's all wet in here. And he's like, get in. Shut up. Get in now.
He's like, I'll start closing it, and then I'll get in there with you. And the guy's like, okay. He climbs in, and, like, the cylinder starts closing, and, like, the walkie-talkie guy's not moving. He's like, hey, what the fuck? And then he goes to get out, but it's too late, and he doesn't want to get crushed to death, so he just kind of huddles in.
Yeah, the thing does look like kind of like a pancake presser at first. It's just, like, imagine, like, you're just standing up, and that thing lowers down. It just, and it just, like, accordions his ass.
Yeah, to me it's like kind of like, you know, the monkey that plays cymbals. It goes like, tss, tss,
yeah.
Tss. It looks like two of those like pressed together.
Now imagine if it went that fast and just smash, 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 smash.
But with like a bunch of the blood from Alien in it from the machine.
Oh yeah. Oh, the milk.
Yep. All right. So he gets out of the cylinder. It opens up like almost immediately, and then he pukes out a bunch of the liquid. And he looks around, but suddenly it's light outside and the birds are chirping again. Mm-hmm. He's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, and at this point, walkie-talkie guy is, like, staring at him, very confused.
Yep. So he opens the door, and walkie-talkie guy's like, who are you? And middle-aged guy's like, what did you do to me? And he's like, you told me to get in, and that you were going to get in with me, and then you didn't do it. And walkie-talkie's like, you've been here before.
Yeah, I know you. You know me. What, like, what are we doing right now?
Was the tank full of liquid then? It's like, cause, I mean, like, the ladies aren't supposed to arrive until late.
Using up that liquid, my dude. Like, what the hell?
He's like, walkie-talkie tells him that the tank is a prototype. A middle-aged guy looks through the binoculars and sees his wife and himself down at the house when he brings the table home.
Yeah.
Then he collapses like, what the fuck is happening? Because he doesn't know this is a time travel movie.
Right. And then walkie-talkie also dramatically collapses next to him.
After he takes a look through the walkie, or through the binoculars.
And sees
as
the
well.
Same thing.
I mean, like, plus side, you're like 45 minutes tops from like watching yourself fuck your wife through the window.
Would that be that weird though?
I'm probably depressing more than anything. Yeah. Walkie-talkie's like, that's all you got, huh?
Yeah. Like, shut up. I was tired.
All right, so walkie-talkie tells him he went back in time, and middle-aged guy is on the move, and he's like, it's time to call the cops, because there's some guy down there with my wife. Walkie-talkie's like, what? No, you're that guy. He's like, when did you get in the time machine? And he was like, well, it was like dark. And he's like, oh, you only traveled a little then. He seems kind of disappointed about it.
Yeah, he's like,
He's like, so you just time traveled from later today? I guess that's pretty good.
He's like, I guess it could be better. Don't worry, we have a chance to do some real fuckery later.
And then walkie-talkie's like, how'd you get in the tank? And he's like, never mind, don't tell me, it's better if I don't know.
Yeah.
Because his main concern is he doesn't want to create a paradox, because since he has to get in the tank, it must happen after this, in which case he doesn't want to know because it needs to happen, otherwise he'll accidentally unmake time.
Yeah, so this movie kind of follows more linear time travel rules compared to, like, say, Back to the Future, which does not follow those fucking rules whatsoever.
I would say this movie, Walkie Talkie, thinks it follows Back to the Future rules, but eventually we find out it follows 12 Monkeys rules. See, but we'll get to it.
See, now we're having the same type of discussion like they did in Endgame when they were like, Back to the Future is not realistic when it comes to time travel.
Yeah, I mean, their version wasn't better. Let's get on. Never mind. Didn't like that they used time travel. Whatever. There's a giant, like, purple alien that snaps people out of existence. What can you do?
Yeah, I think it'd just be too picky. Anyways, so he has to explain these rules to a middle-aged man.
Basically, he tells him, he's like, listen, that other guy, you want him gone? I got good news for you. You wait 3 or 4 hours, and he's out of here. And yeah. You're the only one left.
Yeah. All you have to do is just sit here at this table. You can twiddle your thumbs and wait for the day to go through. I mean, maybe get out of this chair, because eventually he's going to come this way. And that's probably not good, because, you know, time paradox. Don't want to do that.
Yeah, the guy still doesn't get it, so he takes the calendar off the wall, and he draws the picture with the wavy lines and the X's to explain, like, see, like, you're this X, he's that one. When he gets here, he's just gone, so don't worry about it. He becomes you earlier, which is later for him. Don't think about it. Don't think about it.
Yeah, he's like, don't worry about it, sweetheart. Just sit here, okay?
Yeah. We see middle-aged guy checking out the window he broke that's now fully intact, being like, what the fuck?
What's funny is it reminds me of a video game where literally in the beginning, the guy tells you to hold on, he'll be right back. And to start the game, you have to hit like X to get up off the table to continue. But if you don't do it, he comes like after like, I think 5-10 minutes, if you don't press it, he comes back and he's like, it's okay, baby. I don't have to start this like war or nothing. Like, we're good. And then the game ends. It's fucking
what
up.
What game is that?
That's Far Cry 5, I think.
Seems like an easy way to beat the game.
Well, there's multiple ways. You have to initiate at the beginning because he's the bad guy, and he's like, I invited you to dinner. And if you initiate and try to escape, then the game actually continues. But if you don't hit X, the game ends. He's like, it's cool. We're all good, buddy.
I mean, you made your choice, I guess, right?
Yeah. So that's all this guy's got to do. He doesn't have to hit X. But guess what? He hits X. He gets the fuck up. He's like, fuck this shit.
Important to note, before he does, though, walkie-talkie's like, I'm kind of doing this time travel stuff off the book, so like maybe keep your fucking mouth shut in exchange for me helping you. All right, sounds great. I'm going to go get the machine ready for you to come here later, which is earlier for you. Don't think about it. Don't think about it.
You can see him scratching his head just like profusely, like, don't get it.
Be like, who's that guy with my wife? It's like,
oh my
god. So like what? Like with that house down there, you inherit this money, dude? You must have inherited it, you dumb son of a... Okay.
She's like, god damn it. It's never the smart ones that go through time travel. It's always the idiots.
Anyways, middle-aged guy immediately goes to the phone to call his house, and then he does the heavy breathing bit. You see, he's the guy who called himself. Past middle-aged guy calls back, and walkie-talkie listens to the message, and then he's like, what the fuck? He's like, I told you not to call him. Why would you try and talk to him? You could unmake time. And walkie-talkie's like, don't go down there. You'll freak your wife out, and she'll love past you more, and they'll both try to kill you, okay?
But yeah, come on, he doesn't know that. I mean, it's like...
No, for real. If you're chilling at home with your wife, right, and, like, another Vinny shows up, and it's like, who's this fucking freak with you? You and your wife would be like, oh, shit, an abomination. Kill him.
Oh, man. So it's not like Multiplicity where it's just like we could try to, like, you know.
You're like, shit, I sent my blood into Ancestry.com, and they fucking cloned me. And now I'm the one who's got to put it down. Like fucking Ripley in Alien Resurrection.
Kill. Yes.
So you pick up your hammer and you start at the toes.
What a callback. Yeah, it's never like a... Until one day they do send a perfect clone, but they keep sending, like, you know, these unfinished ones at you.
Hello, it's me, Vinny.
Ah!
Now your wife's like, that's the real one.
I always love you.
He's like, they made my dick too big.
And I'm like, aw, shit. Like, how can I compete?
You lucky son of a bitch.
How can I compete with that?
You got all my good parts and none of the bad. So, Vinny, he sits down at the table, you know, initially ready to cuck himself.
Just keeps looking through the binoculars like,
Then he remembers how good the sex was, and he's like, no way I'm going to let past self give it to her like that. So he goes and grabs some car keys to head down there to give him a piece of his mind.
Yeah, he's like, fuck you, walkie-talkie, and fuck science. I'm going to go fuck this dude up and take his place.
You're like, me and my wife are going to kill him. He's the abomination. Oh, God, I'm disappearing. He stops at some giant Jurassic Park gates at the end of the road from the college.
He's fucking gates. Oh, man.
Then he tries a button in the car and it opens the gates. He's like, shit, well, that is starting off pretty good for me.
Yeah, not bad. Hey, that was pretty lucky.
He sees a woman with red pants biking down the road. We might remember some red pants from when he was looking in the woods earlier.
Mm-hmm.
He stops to think this over and slams on his brakes because, like, damn, that ass.
Yeah, but usually what happens to all poor men that end up doing a little gawking on the side road, they get into a massive car accident.
Yeah, as he's sitting there doing the math in his head about when he could see those breasts again, he gets rear-ended, and he goes slammed into the woods. He cuts open his head. He's bleeding like a stuck pig. Luckily, he's got some bandages with him, Finn.
Mm-hmm.
So he starts taking the gauze from his arm and wrapping his head in it. Then he looks at the rearview mirror and he's like, oh, that looks familiar. So he just wraps it all the way around. It's him, the bandage man.
Right, because his blood mixed with like the fluid from the time machine causes his bandages to look pink.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So, and I honestly, like, for masks-wise, for bandages, looks pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't think it looks great, because, like, basically it looks like in the water, I don't know, I mean, like, it's probably pretty hot in there. It's like if cum curdled.
Anywho.
And blood.
Oh, God, cum, blah. Not separate, not together. Oh, man. So,
Red Pants comes to check on him, and he's like a freaky mummy when she gets there, but she knocks on the window undeterred, like, hey, man, you okay? Then he rolls down the window, and he's like, I'm fine. She's like, what's the deal with the bandage? And he's like, no big deal.
Yeah.
She runs to call for an ambulance, and he stumbles on the car like, no, you need to get naked in those woods. That's got to happen.
Yeah, because it was at that point where he put two to two together with the bandages, and he's like, oh, fuck, I gotta repeat the day, except as the bandage man.
Yeah, it's like, this really could have just been one where I just sit in the table and it would not have been a big deal, but I really fucked up, so
yeah,
gotta see it through to the end now.
Right, because, you know, now he is definitely thinking, but what of the time paradox? I could be fucked.
So she can't get a signal, so she goes to leave. He's like, you need to stay, because I'm dizzy. And she offers him some water. He guzzles it, and most of it ends up on the ground, which she seems a little like, this is my only water bottle, man.
Fucking, what a waste.
Like, it's not easy to bike in these hills. Fine, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I mean, got like a 20-mile fucking bike ride back home, but, like, you know, forget about it.
Yep. Vinny, there's some blue light coming from her backpack because she gets the scissors out. And she's like, I was just cutting a friend's hair. Then she cut some of his gauze to help wrap it tighter. He's like, oh, those scissors must be mine. So when she turns around, he nabs them and he hides them behind her back, his back. And he sees the trash and he's like, I need help in the woods. We need to go in the woods where I need help. She's like, I don't like this, but okay, you're concussed. Let's play along. So she rolls her bike by the trash and then just dumps it there.
Yeah, like, what's hilarious is he has to piece together of, like, I know that this girl got naked. I know I found her naked. How the fuck do I get her naked?
Yeah.
My charm?
Like, the scissors are right here if all things go wrong, so.
Let's just say, like, without the goss, he's definitely still not a looker, so.
He finds the coat that the bandage guy was, like, wearing on the ground, and he's like, I guess this is mine now, as he puts it on.
Yeah, now he's really, like, donned up. He looks like, oh, man, Nightman. You know, that Alec Baldwin movie?
Yes. I think she's not into it, but she follows him into the woods. She tries to get him to turn back, but she's like, but he's like, no. And then he blocks her way. He's like, you need to go that way. Don't worry about it. I just need you to do something. They looks at the rocks and he spies on himself with the binoculars in the yard. She makes a run for it and he chases after her. Yeah. He falls down and whomps his nose on the ground like, oh, my fucking face.
Yeah, but in the meanwhile, too. Oh, wait, no, not yet. Yeah, keep going.
Yeah, he looks back with the binoculars and he sees himself looking at him when his wife blocks him. So he's like, all right, that's where we are in all this.
Yeah.
He comes up on Red Shorts hiding from him, and he grabs her and holds the scissors to her, and he's like, you gotta do as I say. He gives her instructions on how to stand there for his pervy past self to get a good look at him. So he's like, take off your shirt, slowly. He's like, turn this way. No, wait, it was the other way. And he's like, bite your thumb. And he's like, yeah, past me is loving that shit back there.
That's right. Maybe shake the booty too, you know? It's like, it's okay to have a little fun.
He's like, all right, time for the goods. Take that top off slowly. And he's like, maybe some of this is for me. He's like, I'm sorry, but past me isn't raptured, so it's working as intended. And he's like, all right, you can put the shirt on, but now go by the rock. She sits down looking very confused.
Yeah, it's just like, all right, now stand up. Take that shirt off again. All right, now put it back on. Sit down again.
Yep. Past middle-aged guy is hiding his boner from his departing wife. The bandage guy's like, all right, you got to take your pants off. She does. And he's like, okay, give me those pants. And she's like, don't you want the panties too? And I'm like, what's happening?
Because I know he's like a bee, like, yes, wait, no, what?
She's like, every time I ride through these fucking hills.
Goddamn dirty stalking perverts everywhere.
He's like, it's not like that. Then she karate kicks him in the head and makes a run for it again.
Yeah, it was awesome.
He takes the pants and lies them on the ground, then he chases after her. He catches her and tackles them both down a hill.
Yeah. And knocks her ass out because he lands on top of her.
Yeah. And this guy who couldn't run up the hill before, fireman carries her up to the top of this one. I'm like, no way. He'd have a heart attack halfway up.
Yeah, considering he's also got bandages on his face. Or is that just...
Gross. Yeah, just getting blood all down the back of his throat, too.
Oh, my God.
He lies her down by the rock and then rips her shirt off and then tosses the tatters by the pants like they were when he got there before. Then he does the socks, but he has to hustle because he can hear past him coming through the woods.
Yes, he's like army crawling, laying on the ground, and then he forgets the panties, and he's like, oh, no, I got to peel those bad boys off, too.
Yeah. It's at this point in the movie where I'm like, oh no, was I like a pervert when I was 22?
So we've arrived at Hector 2, no, 1. Middle-aged man 1 is now arrived to the scene.
Yep. He hides his past him, comes through the woods, and starts chucking sticks at the girl. Then he comes up behind past him and he stabs him casually in the arm because he's like, I guess this is what I gotta do now.
Yeah, he like looks away when he does it because he's just like, oh man, I gotta stab myself. Oh.
Then he can't see past him in the woods, but he keeps doing the binoculars pose because like he knows he has to. But, like, nothing happened, so he tries it, like, 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, because I stood there, like, going, like, what is he, why is he doing this? Because I think I didn't notice that he did them earlier. But eventually he, like, waits a couple of seconds and, like, ponders. And then finally he gets it.
Yeah. And when he does, like, past him goes, like, ah! And then, like, runs through the woods. So he's like, got it.
That's perfect. Then he hears a shattering scream to come from Red Pants, and he looked real confused at that one.
Yeah, Red Pants, who is now No Pants, screams and makes a run for it again. He goes home and kicks down the fence, and he grabs his phone. He hears music upstairs, and he's like, I can't resist. I gotta go see my wife. I mean, she just had the best sex.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he was like, all right, I got fucking middle-aged man one out of the house. Now it's time to reclaim my home.
He gets clocked with the brand new table, sending him tumbling down the stairs. Then he stumbles back up and finds an open window with a ladder next to it. He climbs down to follow her, but it was a ruse.
Because she's climbed
up. She runs in the house and locks herself in a room. He tries to explain, like, no, it's me. Like, obviously the bandages just freaked you out, but I'm here. Don't worry about it. He busts the door in and hears her climbing on the roof. He keeps telling her to stop, and then he grabs her ankles. And she and a bunch of tiles come down and plummet all the way to the bottom.
Yep.
Then he looks over and she's dead on the ground. And he's like, oh, no.
Yeah, I was unaware that this occurred in my day.
Yep. He can hear past him and walkie-talkie talking on the walkie-talkie.
Yeah, is at this point now he's like, oh, fuck. I gotta get my ass back in that fucking tube and go back in time to fix this.
Yeah, he starts talking to walkie-talkie, be like, hey, it's me, the guy that you talked to before. You need to convince past me to go up into the silo and get into it. He's like, tell him a bandage guy's chasing him. He'll know what that means.
He's like, oh, okay.
So Bandage Man rams the gate and goes back into the university. He scares past him in through the window. Then he sits down and waits patiently for past him to get out of the silo, like all in a day's work.
Yeah, I like this like casual him just waiting and like, I mean, if he could be smoking a cigarette now, he would be. It's just like, man, what a day.
Walkie Talkie comes out and he goes like, Pink Mummy. I guess I should have known. Now, walkie-talkie's like, well, let me take a look at you. You're the first guy to ever time travel. But Bandage Man slips into the silo while his back is turned. He's like, I want to go back in time. Walkie-talkie is not having it. Bandage Man's like, I will tear this time machine apart if you don't do it. Now, walkie-talkie tosses something into the night and then goes back to talk sense into the Bandage Man. He says, you can't go back. We don't have any more energy. And I don't want you to create a paradox. Bandage Man looks behind him and spies some shit. And he's like, where was the canister that was there before? You had another one. And he's like, it's gone. Then Bandage Man whacks Walkie Talkie with the crowbar. And he's like, where the fuck is
he? He like casually hits him on the shoulder, like, boop.
Yeah, he went from a guy huffing and puffing up the hill to like goddamn John Wick.
Yeah, the adrenaline. And maybe it's the time juice.
Walkie Talkie's like, okay, I threw it away into the night. Bandage Man unwraps his bandages to show his severely fucked up face. Then he grabs a flashlight and he tosses it to Walkie Talkie like, let's go looking, bro. Now Walkie Talkie's like, there's no time for you to go back because I only turned on the machine right when you time traveled to before. And you can only travel back to when the machine is on. Like, he's like, but when did I get there? Like, how long until I arrived? And he's like, 30 to 40 seconds. And he's like, dude. Sounds to me like I got 30, 40 seconds to arrive then.
Yeah.
And he's like, but if you go back, there'll be 3 of you and time might collapse. And Bandage Man's like, wait.
Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah.
Why'd you throw the battery away? Why'd you know I was going to look for it? Walkie Talkie's like,
what's this now?
What? What's that?
Wait, what?
What'd you ask there?
Excuse me?
The Ashman's like, you knew I'd want to use the time machine again. Then he whacks him with the crowbar again. A walkie talkie's like, okay. Okay. There was a third middle-aged guy. He already told me about all the issues you're having. He showed up 30 to 40 seconds before you when you time traveled. He's like, Banish Man's like, wait a minute. So this already happened. Well, I can tell he's like, yeah, but like, we can't let it happen. He's like, no. I got this figured out now. Then he just tosses the flashlight on the lawn and the battery's there. Because guess what he's just figured out, Vin?
He gonna follow this fucking man's rules no more.
No, no matter what the fuck you do, it's already happened. You can't create a paradox. It's a time loop.
Yeah, it's already in a loop. Yeah, we in a loop, baby. So he hops his ass into the fucking time machine. He's like, let's go now.
So he's like, I'm goddamn untouchable. Whatever I'm gonna do is gonna make this happen. He's like, I decided to crash through, no free will.
He's
predestination. He's like, no way. I'm gonna use this to my advantage.
He really so turns into like Doc Brown and goes, your future could be whatever it wants to be. Back to the Future 3.
Yeah. So walkie-talkie's like, future you, which is also past you, like it happened earlier today, but it's you in the future, I think. He walkie-talkie me and be like, no, it was all a mistake. Don't do it. Don't let me time travel back again. And he's like, well, I guess we'll fucking see about that, won't we? Banish Man's like, listen, he called you from this walkie-talkie, then he talked. Oh, wait. It starts to rain, and walkie-talkie's like, Banish Man, what happened earlier today? And he's like, I had no choice, so fire up the machine. Let's do it. So walkie-talkie lowers the plunger, and we stay on him as the time machine beeps and boops away. Then he lifts it back up, and Banish Man gets out of the machine earlier in the day. He tells walkie-talkie, listen, your machine works. I'm from the future. Then Banish Man smacks walkie-talkie's face, and he's like, there's two more of me coming. I need your help to get rid of them. Second middle-aged guy comes out as he hides behind the machine.
Yeah, we do like a flash cut of him like plotting out like the way that he's going to do his day. And you can see his like hand just like hiding behind like a little corner.
Yep. So second middle-aged guy leaves out the door. And third middle-aged guy tells walkie-talkie, you better go calm him down and ask him who he is. Walkie-talkie's like, who the fuck are you? The third middle-aged guy's like, hit the bricks.
Yeah, this is now middle-aged man 3.
Yep. So third middle-aged guy gets in a golf cart and heads to the grounds as walkie-talkie talks to second middle-aged guy.
And I like where this is around the moment we go back to the scene where second middle-aged guy is like collapsed, you know, totally watching his wife get dicked down by middle-aged man 1. And you can see, like, middle-aged guy 3 with, like, the golf cart go behind them.
Yeah, while walkie-talkie's looking back and being like, this is the damnedest thing, because that guy's here, but he's also down there, and he's also behind me driving a golf cart. all right. What else? Third middle-aged guy pulls up on the gate, but he's like, shit, it's closed. Right, I need the button.
Yeah. So he puts his head down on the golf cart, like, steering wheel, like, god damn this gate.
So he runs back up, and he's like, walkie-talkie, I need a remote for the gate. Walkie-talkie's like, they're in the cars. And he's like, give me a different car, then. And walkie-talkie's like, wait, hold on. Most importantly, you're not going to rat me out for using this time machine, right?
Yeah, I'm not really supposed to be using this thing.
Third middle-aged guy's like, yeah, if you help me get rid of him, then, you know, we got a deal, all right? Let's see.
Shit's about to get real wacky right here, folks.
All right, we're at the point where second middle-aged guy is heading down the road in the first car, and third middle-aged guy is in another car behind him.
He's in a van.
Yep. He can see red pants from a distance, so he's like, oh, I get it. So when second middle-aged guy stops, third middle-aged guy rams him off the road into the woods.
Yep. And then his van goes veering into, like, a very painful end to that van, into, like, some trees.
Yeah. He also knocks the trash off the road, so that's how it all gets there before. He stumbles out of this new red van like more fucked up because he's had two accidents today.
Yeah, he's like, his face is like completely bloated. He's like probably broken his jaw at least a couple of different ways. Maybe broke some teeth. You know,
Yeah.
he's definitely having a day.
If you think about it, he got both ends of one accident. So he grabs the walkie-talkie and he says, "Walkie-talkie, don't send me back in time. You'll regret it. Whatever you do, stop me." But like he doesn't really mean it. He's just saying it because he knows he has to.
Yep.
He startles Red Pants into screaming, giving away her location. Then the third middle-aged guy says, "I think we're running from the same person." A bandage guy? He's like, "Sit here." But she hikes in the woods instead, and he's like, "Whatever, it doesn't matter."
He's like, all right. I mean, yeah. Have fun with getting naked and getting knocked out, so.
He passes out, and then she wakes him up, and it's nighttime again, and she's gone through a horrifying ordeal.
Yeah, she brings his hobbling ass back to his house.
Yep. And he's like, we should not go in that house. But she leaves him in a room. She's like, "I gotta go look for help." The wife comes home and is startled to see him all fucked up. And she's like, "There's a bandaged man out in the yard." He takes her outside and he calmly gets the ladder and puts it up next to the house. And he's like, "Hide in this shed." He does.
Yep.
He goes back upstairs and Red Pants is scared of the bandaged man. Third middle-aged guy grabs the table and tosses it at the bandaged man, knocking him down the
He,
stairs.
Jake, it's the table. Now, tell me you didn't laugh super hard when he just nonchalantly, with like no emotion, lifts it up and just throw, because that's what happens earlier
Well, he
too,
knows it's gonna happen.
right?
He's like, "I'm gonna hit him, I don't miss."
Yeah, just smash. So Red Pants is like incredibly startled that the fact that this dude just whooped the freaking bandage man's ass like that.
That third middle-aged guy says, "Bandage guy is nuts. He went crazy when he saw you from a distance, Red Pants. There's only one thing we could do. We need to disguise you. Put on my wife's clothes, I mean the woman of the house clothing, and let's cut your hair." He's like, "In what style?" And he's like, "I don't know, someone familiar."
Yeah, he like grips her hair and then like halves it and makes it short, just like how his wife wears it.
And he says, "You look beautiful." And she's like, "What the fuck is it with all these guys here?" And it's like, it's the same guy, and we're all creepy.
Yeah, hey, listen, don't judge the man. That's just, you know. 'Cause he's me. I'm looking at the man in the mirror, and guess what? He's looking right back at me.
He suffered several concussions today. He's about to get two of fingies.
Oh no.
He's like, "All right, go hide in the attic." So she does. Bandage guy's doing his bit at the door where he's like, "It's me. Why won't you open up?" To this terrified lady with red pants.
Yeah, meanwhile, middle-aged man three calmly walks down the stairs and goes back to meet his wife.
Yep. Then he takes her out of the shed and he sets up a couple chairs in the yard. And he's like, "Wait here." She can hear Red Pants screaming on the roof and he's like, No. Don't interfere." And he's just looking up. And we hear her hit the ground because is Red Pants looking like his wife who fell off the roof. It wasn't his wife.
Mission accomplished.
Third middle-aged guy's looking up at the sky and he's like, "It's not gonna even rain for a while, his wife, because like he's easy as can be now." Bandage man is heading off and loop is closed. There's only one guy left. Vinny, it's over. Short and sweet.
I mean, I'm not gonna hide it. That was a sweet fucking twist at the end.
Yeah, Vinny texted me during the movie and be like, "Oh, he's the bandage guy." And I was like, there's a few twists
You're
left
like,
after that.
hey, well, all right, wait, hold on. Let's go through the motions here.
All right. Vinny, I selected the movie this week. It falls upon me to ask you the eternal question: did I scare you?
Yeah.
No, the fact that this is considered even a borderline horror movie, it's like, I guess.
It's almost a comedy in a way.
It's like when you don't know who the bandage guy is at first, like, I could see that being kind of freaky.
Right. But then,
But, like, within 25 minutes, you're like, oh, it's him.
Right. But then, we go deeper. Then when we get to the third guy, you're like, holy shit, he's got this figured out. And when he hides away his wife, I'm like, holy fuck, he's gonna use freaking red pants as a decoy. And then when it plays out like that, I'm like, this is quite possibly the greatest twist in a movie I've seen in a very long time.
Yeah, it's like a good version of the Night House. He found someone that looked kind of like her to take her place.
I'm just thinking to myself, like, at what point in his scheming throughout the day did he go, I could probably make red pants look kind of like my wife.
I really think it's the point when he realized that he already traveled back in time and walkie-talkie couldn't stop it, even though he tried, that he was just like, whatever I try to do is already going to be what happens, because that's when he tosses the flashlight on the ground and he finds the battery.
Right.
Because, like, he's not trying, it's just like, well, whatever I tried, like, it's going to come out my way.
Yeah,
And he
because
was like, if I try to make this woman look like my wife, it's going to be what happened already. So.
right. And that's the thing too, is just like you go through it a couple of times, but it's every time if you replay, it's just gonna happen. Like, it doesn't erase
Yeah.
the event, it happens.
Yeah,
So,
that's why it's a time loop instead of like, there's
paradox.
no, yeah, there's no alternate dimensions or anything.
Yeah, ain't no fucking multiverse up in this shit. It's
Nope.
once it's all one line, baby.
Yep. Yep, and middle-aged guy comes out on top, and red pants has had pretty much the worst day ever.
Yeah, so going back to me texting Jake earlier, I was so fucking over the moon about how it ended, and then I began chanting, "Time crimes, time crimes."
Like, they delivered. He committed some time
He
crimes.
sure did.
He is the first time criminal.
He's gonna when the police get there and the woman's gonna be dead, he's just like, yep. It's not my wife though, so that's pretty awesome.
And be like, you killed her. To be like, no, second me did, and it was an accident. Be like, but third, you knew you were putting her in that position.
Ah, but fourth me's come here to absolve me of all my crimes.
He's like, I found a drifter woman to take red pants in place. Me and red pants are gonna get married and get out of here.
That's the screwy shit that you could do with time travel. I love fucking any movie that does time travel right is when it's just like, ah, that's the good shit.
So, yeah, I still love this movie. I loved it the first time I saw it. It's still amazing. It's great.
That's awesome. It's literally it's an hour and a half, man. It's barely worth it's barely your day. It's absolutely worth a watch.
Yeah, I was looking through this guy's other stuff, and I noticed he also wrote and directed a Anne Hathaway movie, Colossal.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Wow, you know what realization I just came to?
What?
My friend Chris, who of course his song is the intro and outro of our show every week.
For Rebel
Check out
Escape
Rebels.
Pod.
Yep, check him out on Spotify. His friend Austin, who he went to college with, is a professional actor now. He was in Colossal, so I've met someone who's met the director of Crime
That's
for Time
awesome.
Crimes.
You just Kevin Bacon your way to time crimes.
Yeah. That's wild.
Jake's come across a couple of realizations this week. That's funny, because that's not the other one was the baseball player.
Not worth talking about. All right, Vinny, what if you were any character in this movie, who would you be? And at what time?
I guess I would be probably middle-aged man too.
Because
Because if I
apparently
saw
you're middle-aged man, what if Latina women are sucking down your nipples?
you're not wrong on that one, but I feel the sentiment of the second one where he sees he's about to see his self earlier getting dicked down and being like, I mean, that could be me, you son of a bitch.
It was him.
Yeah, but it could
earlier.
Be. But it could be him again now.
Don't cock block yourself.
All right, what about you? Are you third?
I don't think so. I'm definitely not the first one.
I took the one that you wanted to be.
Oh boy. Listen. I guess I am the first one because I would also get caught snooping with those binoculars.
Yeah. All right, that sounds good.
Well, like, I gotta get a closer look at these wizards.
That's awesome. What a line. All right, gifable moment. I know mine.
It's binocular eyes.
I mean, that's a good one too, but I really laughed pretty hard with him when he's in the golf cart and he hits the gate and he puts his head on the fucking steering wheel like, son of a bitch. Because you could use that for closed again.
I mean, for other purposes, maybe the part where she's like, what, no panties? Anywho, I think that's going to do it for us for Time Crimes this week. Vinny, do we have any mail for this week?
Let me double check, ladies and gentlemen. No, not this week.
All right. Well, if people did want to email us, Vinny, where could they do so?
They do so by emailing us at our email at disbypod@gmail.com. That's disbypod@gmail.com.
And Vinny, if instead they wanted to reach us on Instagram or Twitter.
Our Instagram is didiscareyoupod, and our Twitter is disbypod.
All right. Please check us out. Always love to hear from people. Love getting feedback.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Vinny, we are at the point this week where you will be selecting the movie for next week. So what shall we be watching next week?
All right. Hey, have you ever traveled outside of the country before?
To Canada.
Oh, well. Is there any like, nah, you know what? Let's fucking bail on this. Jake. I'm going to select a movie that a long time ago I was invited to go see it, but I was too frightened to see it in the time being, so I bailed and then ended up watching a different movie instead. So we were going to be watching the 2007. This is 2007.
Ooh, another 2007. Okay.
We're going to be watching Hostel.
Oh.
You see where I was trying to go with, like, Canada? Like, I was going to say, is there any hostels in Canada? I'd be like, well, fucking, that ruins it.
I think there's hostels even in America, but, okay. This is a movie I've long avoided, but it's a horror podcast. I mean, we couldn't stay away from the torture porn for too long.
Yeah, I think it's about time. I think, you know. I don't think we've really dipped in enough of, like, the weird, gory type shit like this. And I think the last time that we did, like, something super gory was, like, man, like, a long time ago. Probably, like,
I don't know, Evil Dead's pretty gory.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Now I can't even remember. Never mind. Let's get out of here.
Cannibal Holocaust when they're tearing apart those fucking turtles?
Well, obviously, yes. Yeah, but I thought we did something before that. Maybe Terrifier. Probably Terrifier.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I think Terrifier was probably one of the most goriest movies right next to... Well, Cabin Fever, actually.
Yeah, Eli Roth.
Yeah.
I'm
going to say Cabin Fever is probably the last time we did something pretty fucked up. I've never seen this movie, so I'm very curious about it.
I don't anticipate liking it, but I like pushing my horizons in my film viewing, so this will certainly accomplish that, if nothing else.
Cool. Nice. Alright.
Alright, well, I already thanked Rebel Escape Pod, so they can go fuck themselves now.
Yeah.
Just kidding if you're listening, Joe. Love you, baby. All right, so that's gonna do it for us this week. You have been listening to Did I Scare You? And I have been your host, Jake Albrecht.
And I'm his co-host and America's littlest brother, Vin.
And hey, thanks for the ride, lady.
How you doing, lady? Thanks.
Thanks for the ride, lady.
Thanks for the ride, lady.
Thanks for the ride.
Thanks for the ride, lady.
Thanks for the ride.
Thanks for the ride.
Thanks for the ride, lady.
Come closer. Never need to fear. Step so blind.